Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, it is another edition of Locked On Lions. Let's plate this dish on a Thursday, November 17th, and a Friday, November 18th. It is another installment of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt Derry. What's going on, everybody? Thanks for listening on audioboom.com and certainly on iTunes as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, or hit me up on the Facebook page as well, the Matt Derry fan page on Facebook. Thank you to the folks that have been reaching out lately on Twitter. Nathan Litke wrote, "This podcast makes my morning every day." I appreciate that. Amrik Singh tweets to me, or J.P. Brown first, "Up early listening to Matt Derry on Locked On Lions." Thank you, J.P. Where's Amrik's tweet? Oh, "Love your Lions podcast. Listen every day. Live in Chicago, so it's the only real Lions talk I get. Keep it up. Really appreciate how you keep it real. Disagree with you on Levy, though. It's not that he's eccentric. It just seems like that he's an anchor. He seems so far removed from football, doesn't display Lion pride like Golden Tate and others." Appreciate it, Amrik. Thank you. As far as yesterday's podcast goes, we discussed DeAndre Levy, and I said it. I just don't understand why a lot of folks, because he's eccentric and maybe does some other things away from football, that there was this speculation from a lot of fans that he was going to retire and not play. I think he's just as dedicated. And if you read Antoine Williams' comments, the Lions rookie linebacker, he said Levy's been in every meeting, despite being injured and out lately with the quad and the knee. So, you know, we can agree to disagree. And if you missed any of the stuff we did yesterday talking about DeAndre Levy, you can check it out on audioboom.com and on iTunes on our Locked On Lions page. Hope everybody's doing well. Locked On Lions today, proudly sponsored by Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban, the best realtor in town. Give him a call, 586-634-2612. Also brought to you by CJ Pub, the newest and best sports bar in Shelby Township. CJ Pub, located on 45537 Mound Road, on Mound, just north of M59. All right, so the Lions are going to get it going, and they are going to be playing, of course, Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars in what is going to be a very important game for the Lions, certainly to get back off the bye week and, get a win. This is a win. This is a game that might be more important than the Minnesota game. And you're going to say, well, you know, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Not true. Minnesota is a division game. This game kind of sets the tone for the remainder of the year. The Lions are coming off a bye. Everybody thinks they're going to win. Everybody thinks the Lions are going to beat the Jaguars and beat them soundly. Jacksonville's 2-7. They got to come on the road. They've lost 4 in a row. Blake Bortles isn't playing well. We're going to do a crossover podcast coming up in a few minutes with Kerry Belkin, who hosts Locked On Jaguars right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we'll find out from Kerry just how bad the Jags are and just how bad Bortles is. But this is a key game. You want to go into the Thanksgiving week with some momentum, awful win, and I'm nervous about this game Sunday. I don't think Jacksonville's as bad as their record shows. I know the Lions are healthy. DeAndre Levy practiced again today. Ziggy Ansah practiced today. Theo Riddick practiced again today. All limited. I don't think Levy's going to play. A lot of the beat writers are speculating that he's still got a brace on his knee and that maybe he'll be cleared to go against Minnesota. But regardless, the Lions will be as healthy as they've been in a long time on Sunday. So they should wallop the Jaguars. And they're going to beat Jacksonville. But I just think this game is going to be one of those games where at halftime we're going to be sitting here like a 10-7 Jags lead or a 14-10 Jacksonville lead going, we're in for a ball game. I think everybody just assumes the Lions are going to just wallop Jacksonville. I just don't see it. I think this game has some danger to it. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm wrong. But I look at Allen Robinson and Denard Robinson and Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee and T.J. Yeldon and Bortles and Dante Fowler and Jalen Ramsey, and I see a better team on the other sideline than their record shows. They're going to play better Sunday. And the Lions, they're in every game, and the opponent is in every game. So they haven't blown anybody out. Now all of a sudden, well, off a bye in first place. Woo, first place, Leo's. Just be careful. Just be wary and careful of this game coming up on Sunday. That's what I think. That's what I think. Just be very, very careful this game. Scares me a little bit. All right, Jason Stratt, RE/MAX Suburban. Folks, if you have not, if you're buying a home and you got to sell your house and you can't get a realtor to call you back, your realtor won't email you back, he or she won't call you back, and you're scratching your head. You're pulling out your hair. Dump that realtor right now and call Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban at 586-634-2612. 586-634-2612. Jason's got a house, all right, his house for the month, new home of the month, in St. Clair Shores. It's a 22105 Avalon. He's got it listed for $89,900. Are you kidding me? Perfect for a first-time home buyer. Great house, three bedrooms, partially finished basement with a full bath, walking distance to downtown St. Clair Shores, Tom Mazzaway country, and shopping or restaurants. Call Jason about it right now if you're interested at 586-634-2612. All right? Referrals are the way to go with Jason Stratt. 90% of his business is referrals. You know what that means? That means people have dealt with him like him. He's awesome. All right? I know him. I know his wife, Carrie. The kids, they're great. And these are the kind of people you want to deal with. All right? When I had my house, when I bought my house years ago, I went through Jason. He hooked me up with Mortgage One, everything else that had to do with the house, inspectors. You don't want to be searching. You want to be calling Jason Stratt at 586-634-2612. That's Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban. All right, more on this game. Like I mentioned before, the Lions have put out their injury report for today. For Thursday, Ziggy Ansah with the sore ankle, limited practice, but he was out there. And you know they're going to limit him. Why rush him back? Why make him practice each and every day? DeAndre Levy, the knee, minor brace on it, limited practice. Theo Riddick, sore ankle, limited practice. But other than that, full practice for Darius Barnes, a cornerback who missed practice yesterday due to an illness. Riley Reiff has been sick. He's practiced fully the last 2 days. And Darius Slay with a hamstring, full practice. This is the most healthy the Lions have been in a long time. And now with the stretch run coming, it's an opportunity for them to get this victory. I think they will, but I think it's going to be a lot more difficult than people think. I'm telling you, just be careful. Be wary of it. By the way, Locked On Podcast Network, we've got Locked On Pistons with Dan Feldman. If you haven't listened to Dan's material talking Pistons basketball, please do on Locked On Pistons on the Locked On Podcast Network. As far as the Jaguars go, I'll repeat it, okay? You got a couple of guys in Denard Robinson who's really only been playing special teams. I heard him earlier today on Jamie and Stoney's show on The Ticket. And Allen Robinson, who are going to come home and want to make a statement. I'm telling you, okay. I'm not going to go into the SOL material. I'm not going to tell you that the Lions are going to lose, the Lions are going to choke, or read you any columns that have been written like, well, the Lions have been in first place this late in the season before. They just haven't been able to. No. I don't want to get into all that. I'm just telling you that the first game off a bye, when there's some cobwebs, you're at home, and the whole world thinks, as you're a seven-point favorite, that you're going to take care of business, just circle this game as dangerous. Okay, Blake Bortles is not good, but he's not this bad. And they've got some weapons. And here's the other thing. They've got two tight ends, and Mercedes Lewis and Julius Thomas. And if there's one thing we know the Lions really, really suffer at and really have issues with, is what? The tight end position. In a big way. So, when you look at this, Those are two guys that can ball. The Lions have got to find a way, especially if Levy is just another game away and doesn't play, in recognizing where Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis are, because those two guys can play. So be very wary of that as the Lions play the if Jacksonville had no tight ends, I would tell you, hey, you know what? That wouldn't be an issue. But those two players are two guys that can definitely ball and can definitely play. So be aware of that. I think that is a scary matchup for the Lions, who have not been able to have any success, certainly, going up against the tight ends. Just watch that. Watch that Sunday. Kerry Belkin, in a moment, coming up from Locked On Jaguars, as we'll do a crossover podcast. Want to tell you, though, about Thursday nights at CJ Pub in Shelby Township. You guys have all heard of CJ Mahoney's, right? In Rochester? What about CJ Pub? Thursday nights, you get in there tonight at 9 o'clock for a meal, a couple of beers, restaurant service industry night. 50% off your bill from 9 to close. The specials at CJ Pub, right there on Mound Road, just north of M59, are off the charts. Monday Night Football, 50-cent wings, $6 domestic pitchers. Sunday all day, all right, if you're going to watch games, you get a $3.99 Coney Dog and Fries and a $1.50 pint of domestic beer. You can't beat it. The specials are unbelievable. The food is so good. I love the seasoned fries, the boneless wings. That hot Italian sandwich is off the charts. CJ Pub, located at 45537 Mound Road in Shelby Township. It's run by two guys who are ultimate in class. Brandon Shea, of course, owner of CJ Mahoney's in Rochester Hills, also owns CJ Pub. Brandon's my guy. Family man, great staff, always big on customer service, friendly staff, and Brian Taylor. They're awesome. CJ Pub. Folks, check it out. The best new sports bar in Shelby Township. TVs everywhere, great food, great specials. On Mound, just north of M59. All right, as promised, let's go to Jacksonville right now here on Locked On Lions and talk to Locked On Jaguars host Kerry Belkin. Jags are struggling. We get the comments of Kerry now and find out what's going on with that team. Hey, Kerry.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Jaguars struggling, man. I don't think anybody expected this. Just two wins and what is it? They haven't had a turnover or created a forced turnover in like six games? What's going on there?
The last time they created a turnover in the United States would be the Baltimore game, I believe. It's week they haven't created a turnover since week four when they played Indianapolis up in London for their London game. And in the first quarter when they picked Andrew Luck off, that's the last turnover that they've created.
Wow.
And it's you said it, nobody expected the Jaguars to be 2-7 coming into or just past the halfway point of the season. If you remember, this was supposed to be, I guess, one of the sleeper picks right there with the Oakland Raiders. This was supposed to be the year of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were supposed to take that next step, you know, and start to put their name in the conversation of, you know, the next up-and-coming team. And for whatever reason, you know, they're playing for next year already in November.
Kerry, what's been the biggest problem if you had to pinpoint why this team has lost seven of its first nine?
Wow. You know, there's so many problems, but I think the most obvious one, I don't know how long you've been in Detroit, but seeing that franchise, what it was, I guess, before Matt Stafford got there, as they were devoid of quarterback talent, that's been the biggest problem here this year. It's been the play of Blake Bortles. Last year he had a good second year, and they expected him to be a lot better than he is, I guess, now. They expected him to do a lot better, certainly in his third year, which would have translated to his second year of being in Greg Olsen's offense. However, his bad play in particular helped Greg Olsen to get fired. He's looked inaccurate. He's for the most of the for the larger part of the season, he looked uncomfortable. He's missing easy throws. He just seems unprepared. There's so much, I guess, going on with him. His mechanics are bad. And when your quarterback is not playing well, it undermines the effort of the entire team. Blake Bortles' season, I guess, can be described in one play. I don't know if you saw the highlight, but last week against the Texans, there was a busted screen play, and you know he goes to turf the ball because the running back was covered. He goes to throw it in the dirt, which is the right move, and it hits the running back in the foot and then gets picked off. And it was later they ruled it a fumble as opposed to an interception. But the comedy of errors, I guess, with Blake Bortles sort of translates to Jacksonville's record being what it is. It starts with the quarterback position, and he's just, for whatever reason, failed to live up to the expectations that they had at the start of the season.
Kerry Belkin with me, Locked On Jaguars host, and what has not been a good year in the AFC South for certainly the Jacksonville Jaguars in a very winnable division, Kerry, and that's got to be very disappointing. How much of that is placed on the head coach, Gus Bradley?
Well, you know, it's at this point, all of it, really. You look at, for Gus Bradley, I personally don't think he's going to be here come the start of next season. There's Black Monday in the NFL, which everyone knows is the Monday after the end of the season. The coaches start to get fired. Gus Bradley will probably be the first one, you know, to go, and I don't think anybody here in Jacksonville expects him to stay. This was a team that was expected to take that next step and be sort of like the Oakland Raiders. Not nearly as good. I think the Oakland Raiders at, what are they, 7-1? They had
7-2.
7-2. Nobody expected them to be that good, but Jacksonville was expected to be 7-9, 8-8, and they have the talent. And for whatever reason, the coaching just hasn't translated. And you look at the GM, Dave Caldwell. He's done everything he's could, he's done everything he could to put this team in position to be competitive on the field. Like I said, they had the talent, but you know, for whatever reason, just the coaching is not. It has not translated, and like you said, it's a very winnable division. The Houston Texans are 6-3 now. The thing about the Houston Texans is that they're very much the same team as the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, they have a mediocre quarterback, talented wide receiver, okay offensive line, okay running backs, okay to good running backs, and a very good defense. You know, their turnover differential is near the bottom of the league, just like Jacksonville. Jacksonville actually sits at the bottom of the league in turnover differential. And their Houston gets outscored by opponents routinely. They're going to win the division having been outscored, in the points for, points against column. And when you see that, when you see this division has been really largely up for grabs with, you know, Andrew Luck and the Colts just having, I guess, one of those years because there's a void of talent around Andrew Luck. The Titans have stepped up. They're 5-5. But this is probably, you could say that this division is the worst division in football. And Jacksonville should have been up at the top for it. They should have been fighting for that division title, and the only person you can look at really in the organization is Gus Bradley. For whatever reason, like I said, it just hasn't translated into success this year.
Kerry Belkin with me from Locked On Jaguars. Listen to his stuff on the Locked On Podcast Network, certainly leading up to this game this weekend with the Lions. I guess, Kerry, you know, here in Detroit, the Lion fans, a lot of my listeners, still not happy with Jim Caldwell, would like to see him gone as well after this season, yet here the Lions sit at first place. And I think there are some here that do respect the fact that the players play for him. What's the attitude of the players, and I guess what's the scene like in Jacksonville with the fans in regards to the coach?
The fans are, I would say, over it. There was a point in time, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the Texans game, that Jags fans started filing out. And this was before the comeback, but they started filing out of the stadium. For the most part, I think the fans are over it. They expect there to be a new head coach, and I think everybody has just sort of accepted that this year is no longer about this year. Jacksonville's probably going to finish in the top five when it comes to the NFL draft in the spring. The fans know it. I don't think the players are happy. I think a large portion of them checked out. There was Derek Marks, a defensive lineman, who had some comments regarding his displeasure with not getting playing time. People have said that they aren't being held accountable within the locker room. Two players, I believe, 2 weeks ago, following the Tennessee loss, had openly wondered if Gus Bradley, who was no doubt popular, but if he was tough enough, you know, to be the head coach. And so I think everybody has really sort of checked out. I think it's totally different with the Lions, because maybe the fans want Caldwell gone to some degree, but like you said, they're sitting in first place in the NFC North. He's getting results.
Kerry,
they've certainly had a much better year, I guess, really, than anybody would have expected. So there is sort of, or I would imagine that there is enthusiasm for what's happening with that organization, even if it isn't exactly 100% behind the head coach. It's not like that here. There's just an acceptance that the Jaguars are not what everybody expected them to be.
Kerry, if you're the Lions, what worries you about Sunday in terms of what else? You told me Bortles can't get it done. You told me Gus Bradley can't get it done. But where are the Jags strong? Where should the Lions be concerned about this weekend? Who's looked good, I guess?
Well, you know, I would say that perhaps the best player on this team through the first nine games of the season is, in fact, their number one pick, Jalen Ramsey. I think that he could potentially be the defensive rookie of the year. He could possibly seal that case, I guess, with how he plays in this game. Coming up against Matt Stafford, who is very quietly, I would say, an MVP candidate.
Yep.
Just based on what he's doing there. He obviously doesn't get as much attention as, say, Derek Carr or Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. But I would say that Jalen Ramsey is a guy that could present some issues there. Offensively, I would look at somebody like Marquise Lee, who has really started to I guess, show out. He's been doing some good things for this team this season. All in all, he's been the best receiver from start to finish, or from start till now. Another person, Allen Robinson, hasn't had the best season, but did come on strong last week. There's a bunch of Yannick Ngakoue, who's another rookie. He's a defensive end. Hasn't done much recently, but early on showed that he could be a threat. I think there's a collection of talent to maybe raise your eyebrows at. But then again, it just, I don't think it's full blown, like you should be worried. So you opened the show saying that you think it's going to be a closer game than maybe people expect.
I do.
I don't necessarily think so. having watched the Jaguars, the Houston Texans are one thing, but Matt Stafford is, you know, is something else. I think that there's a sizable margin between these two teams.
Interesting, Kerry. It's funny. We're talking to Kerry Belkin down in Jacksonville. I say that, Kerry, not because I think the Jags are some great shakes or anything. I just think that off a bye, where now everybody's talking in town about first place, everybody's saying, hey, if they win these two, this game Sunday and then Thanksgiving at home against Minnesota, they're in great shape. They sweep the Vikings. And I just think Jacksonville's better than their record shows, and this is going to be a dangerous game. I feel like the Jags are going to play better this Sunday. I don't know, just a feeling I have.
Well, you know, if for much of the season it's looked like Blake Bortles has consistently suited up for the other team, like he's forgot to put on his Jaguars jersey and has been sporting the jersey of whoever they've played. If he remembers to put on a Jaguars jersey, then maybe. But you can never really tell with this team. Again, they were down 14-0 early because of a pick six, you know, and in part because of a pick six and just mistakes, costly penalties and stuff like that. And I think you can get away with that against a team like Houston, who, like I said, was very much a replica of Jacksonville. The only thing that really sets them apart is the win-loss record, which is inexplicable. But I think you can't really get away with that. I don't think Jacksonville is good enough to have that type of game against Detroit, you know, and then come back and still be in the game late in the fourth quarter. If they make any kind of mistakes, I really don't see a scenario in which they're able to capitalize on it.
Well, Kerry, it's a pleasure talking to you. I don't know what questions you have for me, brother, but right now I think the biggest thing here is that people are stunned right now that the Lions are in first place through nine games. It's been a pleasant surprise, even though really it's taken a while for the fans to kind of get back on board, but it's been Stafford that's driven the bus. It's been crazy.
What has he done well, I guess? He's obviously been the catalyst for their, in your words, surprising success. What has he done well to put them in this position?
I'll say this, Kerry. He has a command of this offense under Jim Bob Cooter that we haven't seen in a very long time from any Lions quarterback. It's now been a full season if you go back to the last seven games of last year and nine games of this year when they dropped Joe Lombardi as offensive coordinator. And it's been you know, Cooter country here with Matt Stafford, and he just looks comfortable. He's taking care of the ball. He's got a look in his eye of some leadership. He's making all the throws, making all the plays. He hasn't made that bad mistake. And even the mistakes that he's made, it's because guys ran wrong routes. He had a couple of interceptions in Chicago. One of them was not his fault. And he got on Golden Tate on the sideline for that. He's got just a different fire that's burning inside of him right now. And he's not being denied. And it's a confidence thing. I think it's a maturity thing in year eight. And so that's been the story. So it's nice to see many of the fans here in Detroit that were on his case and anti-Stafford, and you can't give him $25 million after this season. Now mostly everybody is on board, despite the fact that it used to be that he has to win a playoff game to kind of cement himself. Just by the way he's played and his numbers, most people are on board.
You know, if anybody had came up to me and told me that it would be all right for an NFL team to let go of a superstar caliber player in Calvin Johnson, and I know he retired, but it would be okay for them to not have him going forward, and the quarterback would be still just as, if not more, successful, I probably would have laughed, but Matt Stafford, for whatever reason, is putting his best foot forward without Calvin Johnson on that side,
sure,
his side of the ball. How is that translated? How is Calvin Johnson, I guess, retiring, helped Matt Stafford?
I think it's motivated him a little bit because I think he heard plenty of people in the offseason say, well, that's it. The Lions offense will never be the same. Stafford now doesn't have his best weapon. And instead, all the Lions did was, I think they threw a vote of confidence Eric Ebron's way. He's been better, giving Theo Riddick a long-term extension and telling him, hey, look, you'll carry the football and be out of the backfield. I think they've upgraded on the offensive line with some very good draft picks so far on the left side with Decker and Graham Glasgow now at left guard. That line is better, moving Riley Reiff to right tackle. While he hasn't graded out all that well, has been better at right tackle than left tackle. The center has improved in Travis Wanson. And Bob Quinn, the general manager, went out and signed Marvin Jones, who's been their number one receiver, not putting up Calvin-like numbers, but a veteran guy that makes plays. And I think all in all, that mix has worked. It really has worked for Stafford.
Diving a little bit into the specifics, I guess, of this game, what does Jacksonville's defense, if you're Todd Wash, if you're Jacksonville's defensive coordinator, what does the defense have to do in order to stop Matt Stafford?
Honestly, Kerry, if I'm Jacksonville, I'm running the football. I'm throwing the ball to my tight ends, and you've got some good ones down there, for sure, in Julius Thomas and Lewis, and I keep Stafford off the field. If it's third and five, don't throw deep. Find the tight end. Find the running back out of the backfield. Look at find the tape of what Case Keenum did to the Lions a couple of weeks ago for the Rams, and what Carson Wentz did, and certainly what Brock Osweiler did for Houston in moving the chains, and that's how you beat Stafford. You keep him off the field. I was stunned when Minnesota was not going to Kyle Rudolph more last week, or 2 weeks ago, because the Lions were on a bye, but I thought that was a mistake made by Pat Shurmur, the Vikings offensive coordinator, not using Rudolph more. I thought the Eagles in the second half, or the first half, weren't using Ertz enough. The Lions have a hard time covering the tight end. You got two pretty good ones there, so you know, you're asking about the defense. I'm telling you, if the Jags were smart, move the chains with their running game and with the tight ends, and that would keep the Lions off the field.
So the best defense is a good offense.
Yes. Not that the Lions' offense is a top 10 offense by any stretch, but I just think that keeping Stafford off the field is probably your best bet right now.
Unfortunately, I tend to know the Jacksonville I know that inevitably Matt Stafford will be spending some time on the football field. How do you put pressure on Matt Stafford? How do you get to him? One of the stronger suits of the defense is the defensive line. Is there any vulnerability with the offensive line?
It's been better. Like I said, at the start of the year, most of the audience, whenever we did Twitter or Facebook and people were commenting, they were very concerned about the offensive line. As of now, it has held up much better than people thought. It's not a Pro Bowl line by any stretch. But again, I would go at Riley Reiff at right tackle. I would blitz from Stafford's, the near side, not his blind side. I would try to go at the right tackle and the right side of the line, I guess. Taylor Decker on the left side has been pretty good as a rookie. Most of these defenses haven't sent the house and blitzed because Stafford has been able to make plays down the field. But he really hasn't been smashed around a lot. The Lions don't have a great run game either. It's been effective and better, but it's still not great. So that's not something I'd be overly concerned with if I was Jacksonville's defense. But no, Stafford, just these games have all been close too, Kerry. It's not like we're sitting here talking about the Lions or some juggernaut at 5-4 that blow everybody out. All nine games have come down to a fourth quarter. The Lions have trailed, I believe, in the fourth quarter of all nine games, and they've won five of them.
I believe that Jacksonville has trailed in at least seven of their nine games.
Right.
For their losses. How does, we talked earlier about Jacksonville's inability to create turnovers. They're last in the league. They only have 5 turnovers on defense. Conversely, you mentioned that Matt Stafford has taken care of the ball. That Detroit offense is tied for 2nd, I believe.
Correct.
In turnovers. They haven't turned the ball over. How does Jacksonville create turnovers when they're so inept at it?
Well, again, I think that they've got to pressure Stafford and hope that he makes a Stafford from last year or 2 years ago type of throw, but it hasn't happened this year. Amir Abdullah, who was a bit of a fumble machine as a rookie last year, and I thought was getting better this year and looked good in the preseason, and really in week one in Indy, he was terrific until he got hurt. That would be a guy that you would try to, you know, jar the ball loose from, but he's still injured and not playing. The Lions are not exactly a great takeaway team either. The Lions have had some big takeaways at the end of games. Rafael Bush with an interception to seal a game. Darius Slay, same thing. But both these teams don't take it away that much. But, you know, it's going to have to be hopeful if you're Jacksonville that the Lions are rusty a little bit from having a week off and maybe off with their timing and they step in front of one or something.
Let's flip to the Lions defense. What is the strength against this defense? You mentioned that they're not great in the run game. What is their strength on that defense?
Lions strength on defense. I don't know if they have one. I think if healthy, the defensive ends with Ziggy Ansah, Devin Taylor, if he can get it going, and Kerry Hyder are probably the strength. If DeAndre Levy can play Sunday, and I don't know if he's going to yet, that'll be huge. Darius Slay is a pretty darn good corner, and Glover Quinn's a pretty good safety. The corners have been better lately, but it's not a great defense, not at all. And it's been a defense that has given up a lot of yards. It's a defense that has given up a lot of points at times and really didn't get big stops when they needed to get off the field against a bad Bears team, week one against the Colts, Tennessee in the second half. Again, they can't cover tight ends, doesn't matter who it is. So I'd say if Ziggy's going and the pass rush is there, that'll be a strength. But they haven't had one department that's stood out all year at all, Kerry.
You're right now, you're Nathaniel Hackett, the new offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. If you were to list out the priorities of things that you would do to make sure Blake Bortles has a successful day in the air, you mentioned tight ends, exploit the tight end matchup. What are your 3 top priorities if you're Nathaniel Hackett?
My 3 top priorities are Julius Thomas, Mercedes Lewis, and Julius Thomas. I'm telling you, they cannot guard the tight end. Your listeners hopefully will have that ingrained in their head by the end of this podcast because I don't know if Levy's going to play, and if Levy plays, that'll help. But the Lions just do not cover the tight end well at all. So you find a way to get those 2 guys on the field at the same time. Maybe one blocks, maybe one goes out for even something quick over the middle. I'm telling you, that's the way to beat the Lions.
All right, last question I have for you. What's the score? What do you think the result is come triple zeros on Sunday?
I think this is going to be a 31-27 Lions win. I think they'll win, but I think they won't cover the 6.5. I think it'll be closer than everybody thinks. I think they'll come out a little rusty, a little bit overconfident. I think the Jags will score some points. Allen Robinson's coming home to Detroit where his family is. And his sister, I know a little bit from working with her at the Super Bowl and stuff when she worked for Fathead. A great family. And I think they'll be excited to have Allen back in town. And I think that those receivers will get – and the tight ends will have some success. But ultimately, I think the Lions win. But I think it'll be about 31-27. What do you think?
27 points for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They might have scored 27 points this entire season. I don't know. I think you're right in terms of where the Lions are. I could see Matt Stafford leading the Lions to a 31 score. I would say probably 31-20. 20 in that area, 31-17. I think the Lions walk out of this pretty comfortable. I think they know that this is sort of a game. It's not a must-win, you know. Certainly not for them this early in the season. But I think that this is a win that they really want, just because the Vikings are struggling. You know, the Packers are struggling in a major way, and then you know the Chicago Bears really aren't a factor. I think that they come out this bye week motivated with what they saw last week. They have a chance to capitalize, and I think it shows in this game.
Matt Derry on Locked On Lions, Kerry Belkin on Locked On Jags, little crossover podcast. Kerry, that was fun, man.
Yeah, it was real fun. Thank you for having me.
Always fun doing those crossover podcasts. Kerry Belkin, Locked On Jaguars. Check out his stuff right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That'll do it for this week. Again, if I had to make a prediction like I told Kerry, I think this is going to be about a four-point game. 31-27, 24-20. I don't see the Lions covering the 6.5 or 7. I see the Lions winning this contest over the Jags. But, you know, having to do it in the way that they've done it really the first five wins of the year. Tight quarters, close quarters. I think Jacksonville will play better Sunday. This game has some scare to me, and it really shouldn't, because Jacksonville stinks. Gus Bradley should be out of there. Heck, who knows? Would they bring Tom Coughlin back? So thanks to Brandon Shea and the folks at CJ Pub for sponsoring today's broadcast of Locked On Lions. And, of course, my main man, Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban. Lions are going to get to 6-4, but it won't be easy Sunday. We'll talk to you after the game. It's been Locked On Lions.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.